tonight in the book of Philippians. Once again, as we look at it last Sunday night, I went over to chapter 2 because I specifically wanted to speak about our service to the Lord. And as Paul speaks about commending Timothy there and then speaking about the work of Epaphroditus, I wanted to especially hone in on our skills, our talents, our gifts, our servantship that the Lord wants us to use for His kingdom's work. Tonight, I'm moving back to chapter 1, beginning in verse 12. And what I want to look at tonight in verse 12 through 18 is I want to look at adversity advances the gospel. Adversity advances the gospel. Paul says, but I want you to know, brethren. Notice Paul writing to this church. They've been good to Paul. They have prayed for Paul. They have been a part of his ministry in giving. He's so appreciative. He's so grateful. And he speaks to these Philippian Christians, but I want you to know, brethren, that the things which happened to me have actually turned out for the furtherance of the gospel. What was it that had happened to the Apostle Paul? Well, you'll remember because of his incredible devotion, his incredible passion for giving his heart to the Lord caused him to be thrown into prison. He was not in prison because he had done anything that was immoral or wrong. All he had done was proclaimed the name of Jesus. When I think of the Apostle Paul's life, when I realize the adversity that he endured, the persecutions that he went through for the sake of the gospel, and to realize that before he ever met Christ on the Damascus Road, Paul really believed with all of his heart that he was doing God a favor by what he was doing to those of the way. The way were those that were following Christ, that were Christians. Paul really believed beyond a shadow of a doubt that what he was doing, that he was doing what he was supposed to do for God. Until on that Damascus Road that day, as he was walking along, going to Damascus to have Christians thrown into prison, to consent to the persecution against them, and out of heaven, a voice speaks to the Apostle Paul. A blinding light occurs. In fact, it was so brilliant that it created scales on his eyes. Some 3 days later, when the scales had fallen, Paul realizing all that had happened to him, I want you to know, brethren, that Paul was never the same again. His life changed dramatically. His life changed drastically. What Paul would do the rest of the days of his life would be, number one, Christ would be first and foremost above everything else in all of the world. Let me tell you, you and I are caught up in a complex world. In fact, the world that you and I live in tonight is far more complex than the world I think that this crowd of people tonight grew up in. I think the world that you and I grew up in was a totally different world. It had its problems, sure. There were the challenges always. But I want you to know, we did not see to the degree and the intensity of what we are seeing in America tonight. But I want you to know that that ought to make all of us the more committed to the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. That is what was paramount in the life of the Apostle Paul. And in verse 12, where he says, He speaks about the things which happened to me have actually turned out for the furtherance of the gospel. Even though Paul was in chains, the chains did not thwart his ministry even there in the prison. It didn't thwart his ministry because the Holy Spirit of the living God who lived within his heart was revealing to him these prison epistles, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, and Philemon. These would be the four letters that he would write. And no wonder he could say with definitive assertion there, the things which happened to me have actually turned out for the furtherance of the gospel. I want to ask you a question tonight. Some of the adversities of life that you have gone through, challenges, those of us in ministry, challenges for those of you at the workplace, challenges for people that have lost loved ones, kids, grandkids, spouses, parents, great friends, parents that have left their children to be reared by their grandparents, people that have walked away from their responsibilities. Let me ask you a question. With all of the adversities and all of the complexities and all of the challenges that take place in our hearts and lives, can we say with the Apostle Paul, the things which happened to me have actually turned out for the furtherance of the gospel? Do you find yourself tonight praising the Lord? Joy in the midst of happenstance. See, that's what Paul was saying here to the Philippian church. Even though he's confined in a prison, all he had done was try to further the kingdom's work by sharing Christ. And I want you to understand tonight that Paul didn't sit behind those prison bars pitying himself, which most people would do. I'm confident of that fact. But what he did, he began to let the Holy Spirit of living God move within his heart and life. He began to think about these churches. He began to think about problems that they were challenged with. Some of the churches that he would write other letters to when he wasn't in prison, the Corinthian church, with all of its problems that it had, was certainly a challenge to that group of Christians. As he wrote to the Galatians and he brought some exhortation and rebuke to them, let me tell you, the Apostle Paul, in the midst of happenstance, challenged in a prison, chained in stocks and bonds, behind prison bars, he looked at his situation and he wrote back to the Philippians to let them know that what had happened to him had actually turned out for the furtherance of the gospel. I want to ask some of you here tonight, you've lost loved ones. Many of you have lost people so significant in your life, but in the losing of those people, has it brought you closer to the Lord? Has it made heaven much a sweeter place? I mean, do you think more about heaven than you ever did because of your loved ones that are there? You see, the challenges, I believe that Paul was saying adversity for him advanced the gospel. I want you to think about the missionaries tonight all over the world. Missionaries are strategically located all over this world. Many of them are there in various places, not to be known that they are truly missionaries, but they're there. They're in harm's way. Many of them are risking their lives. Did you realize from the year 1900 to the year 2000, there were more people persecuted and martyred for their faith in Jesus Christ than in all of the other 1900 years since first century Christianity? Can you only imagine that many of them would say adversity has advanced the gospel? I think you and I are living in some of the most adverse times of our entire life. I'm not sure we've seen anything yet as to what it's going to be. But will adversity advance you and me personally to be challenged to put Christ first and foremost in everything that we do? Notice he goes on to verse 13, so that it has become evident to the whole palace guard. Notice all of those, the palace guard there in this prison, and to all the rest, that my chains, notice, are in Christ. Paul says, this adversity that I'm in, this is all about Christ. It's not about me. I'm in these chains for Christ. These chains do not hold me back from advancing and furthering the gospel. There were prisoners that needed to hear the gospel. There were prison guards that needed to hear the gospel. The apostle Paul could have tucked himself away in a cell. Paul could have sat back. He could have looked around and said, Lord, why me? Lord, I've been out there doing your work. I've been out there doing your good. I've been out there doing your bidding. Why, Lord, would you allow this to happen to me? Now, if all of us were honest here tonight, I'm confident of the fact, starting with the preacher, that each one of us have asked the Lord oftentimes in life, why me, Lord? Lord, why did you let this happen to me? Why, Lord, did you allow me to become so disillusioned with something that so distracted me? And all the time, God is saying in a still small voice, it's adversity that makes you stronger. It's adversity that advances the kingdom. It's been adversity since Genesis, because Satan is alive. He's well. He's your adversary. He walks up and down seeking whom he may devour. Paul goes on in verse 14 and says, and most of the brethren in the Lord, having become confident by my chains, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. You know what Paul said? Because I'm in this prison and I'm in chains, and this adversity is advancing the gospel, Paul's saying it's caused some of the other brethren, some of the other Christians out there, to be more bold in their faith than they've ever been in all their life. Because they see my chains, and they see the joy that's in my heart, and they see that I'm furthering the gospel by being a great witness here. And it's because of Paul's boldness that he wound up in these chains, but he was in chains because of Christ, not for any wrong that he had committed, all because Satan's henchmen were there to make sure that he was silenced, but it didn't silence him. Notice in verse 15, some indeed preach Christ even from envy and strife. You know, envy is one of those things in the world, envy, jealousy. Those are situations that deal with many people in a lifetime. There were some that were envious of the Apostle Paul because he had been bold for Christ. He had continued to preach the gospel when they had held back, perhaps out of fear. Notice he said, some indeed preach Christ, even from envy. He said, in strife, and some also from goodwill. There are those that are out there in the world who preach, but yet out of envy. Let me tell you, folks, each one of us, God has put His blueprint on our lives. Each one of us are uniquely different to Him in the way that we are made in His image. Each one of us have been given a gift or gifts to use for the purpose of His kingdom. No one can do it better than you can do it. Don't ever try to compare yourself to the next singer or the next preacher or the next speaker or the next teacher out there or whomever it may be. Let me tell you, God has gifted each one of us. It is Satan who causes people to be envious and jealous. Notice Paul speaks about those that preach Christ out of envy and strife. But then notice in verse 15, and some also from goodwill. There are those out there that are doing it because they love Jesus, and it's out of the goodwill of their heart that they do it. That's the way you and I ought to sing. That's the way we ought to preach. That's the way we ought to teach. That's the way we ought to pray, as unto Christ, with a joyful heart. Let me tell you, Paul says to the Philippians in verse 16, the former preach Christ from selfish ambition. He's speaking about those that preach Christ with the envy and strife. Those, he says, the former, speaking of those, preach Christ from selfish ambition, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my chains. But let me tell you, Paul, because of his godly wisdom, Paul could discern, Paul could decipher between that. I read an article today. I thought it was interesting. I think it happened in Russia. There was a guy that's determined that he is Jesus Christ. And he has his own cult. He's been arrested because of that. And I thought, wow, in the time that we live in, I mean, good grief. Can't you imagine the people that are out there claiming to be this, claiming to be that? Paul speaks here about those that do things out of a selfishness, a selfish ambition. And of course, this guy in particular was trying to distort. He was trying pull fraud and wreak his income from these people that blindly had walked into his cult and believed what he was out there doing. Paul says in verse 17, but the latter, those are the ones that preach Christ from goodwill. He said, but the latter out of love. They do it for love. And their love is because it's for Christ. Let me ask you a question. Whatever you do you do it for the love of Jesus? Because if we do it for any other reason other than the love of Christ, then it is absolutely worthless. It's all wood, hay, and stubble. It will all burn one of these days. He says, but the latter out of love, knowing that I am appointed for the defense of the gospel. Paul was not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Paul was going to defend the gospel regardless of the cost. If it meant chains and imprisonment, Paul didn't care because everything that he was doing was for the sake of Christ and to further the gospel. Verse 18, he says to the Philippians, what then? Only that in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached. And in this I rejoice, yes, and will rejoice. What then? Only that in every way, notice, whether in pretense or in truth. Remember, there were those that were preaching out of selfish ambition, out of selfish gain, out of their own power of their flesh. But he says, only that in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached. And in this I rejoice. Yes, and will rejoice. And then Paul moves to verses 19 to 26, where adversity exalts Christ. For I know that this will turn out for my deliverance through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. Notice the importance there of the prayer. Paul needed prayer. Paul knew that Christians needed to pray. There needed to be a great interceding for the brethren, for the church, for the furtherance of the gospel, and for him. He said, according to my earnest expectation and hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ will be magnified in my body, whether by life or by death. All Paul wanted was to glorify and exalt Christ. His adversity would exalt Christ. And that's what Paul wanted. Whether he lived, whether he died, it really mattered not to Paul. He just wanted to exalt Christ. And then notice in verse 41, he says, for to me, to live is Christ. In other words, if Christ wants me to continue to live, I will continue to further the gospel. I will continue to be bold. I will continue to proclaim this wonderful Christ of whom I'm in chains, in whom I preach about. For me to live is Christ, but he says, and to die is gain. No wonder Paul would say when he was caught up into the third heaven where God resides, as it is written, eye has not seen, ear has not heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for those who love him. Paul said, I'm a winner whether I live or whether I die. Paul says, if I live, I live to the Lord. If I die, I die to the Lord. So whether I live or whether I die, Paul said, I'm the Lord's. Notice verse 22. But if I live on in the flesh, this will mean fruit from my labor. Yet what I shall choose, I cannot tell. For I'm hard pressed. In some translations, they'll say between a strait. For I'm hard pressed between the two. What two? Living for Christ or dying, which is gain. For I'm pressed between the two, having a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. Paul understood, if I have to leave this world to be with Christ, hey, I'm out of all the problems of this world. I don't know about you, but you know, the book of Revelation says, come quickly, Lord Jesus, come. I don't know about you, but I pray pretty much every day, come quickly, Lord Jesus, come. Deliver us out of the mess that we're in, because only then we'll be safely secure in the presence of the Lord. But notice Paul said in verse 24, nevertheless, to remain in the flesh is more needful for you. Paul is saying to the Philippians, you know, if Christ keeps me here in my flesh, then it would be more needful for you. In other words, I've got more fruit to produce in the vineyard laboring for the master. He said, in being confident of this, I know that I shall remain and continue with you all for your progress and joy of faith, that your rejoicing for me may be more abundant in Jesus Christ by my coming to you again. His adversity would exalt Christ. His adversity would advance the gospel. But notice as we look at verses 27 to 30, third and lastly, his adversity encourages other believers. Only let your conduct be worthy of the gospel of Christ. Wouldn't it be nice tonight if every Christian's conduct was worthy of Christ, of the gospel of Christ? Wouldn't it be an amazing world? Wouldn't it be amazing what the ungodly, the wicked, would look at and realize that there is a strange and unique difference among us. Only let your conduct be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or am absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit. Notice the importance of being in unity. The book of Philippians is also about unity and joy in Jesus Christ. And the only way to have unity and joy is to have the mind of Christ. He says that you stand fast in one spirit with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. If Christians are battling back and forth, if Christians are fighting back and forth, if Christianity is divided, how can a house stand? How can we stand and be bold for Christ? And then notice in 28, and not in any way terrified by your adversaries, which is to them a proof of perdition, but to you of salvation, and that from God. For to you it has been granted on behalf of Christ, not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for his sake, having the same conflict which you saw in me and now here is in me. Paul realized that there was joy for him in adversity. Maybe not happiness, but you see, happiness depends upon the way we look at our circumstances, our happenstances. Paul chose joy because joy was superior to happiness. Let me tell you, you may not always be happy because of conditions, because of challenges, because of complex situations in your family, at the workplace, with your children, with your grandchildren, with all kinds of conflicts out there in the world, but you can have joy in your heart. Let me tell you, the old Stamp Baxter song says, there's joy unspeakable and full of glory. I believe Paul would say to each one of us here tonight, there is joy in my heart. And the joy is there because of Jesus. And yes, I'm in a prison, and yes, I'm chained, but there are prisoners that need to hear the gospel. There are prison guards that need to hear the gospel. And so, right here, right now, where I find myself, I'm contented because I'm furthering the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. That ought to be our heart cry every day, amen? We ought to have the joy of the Lord is our strength. God bless you. Stand with you as we pray this evening. I want to encourage you to come on Saturday morning at 9 a.m. out in front of the church. If you feel more comfortable, come and sitting in your car. That is perfectly fine. We'll gather out there and kind of social distance, 6 feet apart. I've asked 4 different ones to pray. And so it will be a time of prayer for our nation. I hope you will come. We won't be here that long, but it'll be a time as they are gathering in Washington, D.C. to pray. All over the United States, churches are gathering to pray specifically for this period of time in our nation's history. Will you join us on Saturday morning at 9 a.m. out in front of the sanctuary? And we will spend some time just praying for this nation, praying for our churches, praying for our families, praying for our leaders, that God in his mercy and love would see that the Holy Spirit would move and bring Christians to repentance and bring a return back to the faith on which this nation was founded, on the Judeo-Christian principles. Father God, thank you for these that have gathered tonight. Thank you for those that are listening by live stream. Thank you, God, for the faithfulness of your good people. God, bless us as we go. Keep us safe. Father, I pray that we would have many that would come on Saturday morning. They can sit in their cars or they can stand out with us. It matters not which way. You're in the midst of us. And so, Father, as we gather here to pray and to unite our hearts in the bond of love, God, we pray for America, for repentance and a return before it's too late. In Christ's name we pray. And all God's people said, amen. God bless you.